And then I have to be
yeah, we can just take each one at a
time. What happened to my memo?
This used to be on chair.
Right, so I don't know if it was Gene that was chair.
This is now, what is this?
I didn't make copies of it.
Bill Wagner ain't
this one. Not realizing that was the one she
made. Bill Brager.
So
this must be the mayor's.
Valerie says.
Do you remember what you were chairing?
Did she proposed or what?
Yes.
Do you remember what you were chairing?
He's chairing the utility.
This is what you proposed on
the finance.
What I could remember that I thought Mark had showed me. Yeah.
Oh, this is from his list.
Oh, this is from his list.
This?
Yes.
This is from
no.
They certainly exact retribution.
Did you see? This is Monday night. Mark had a list. Okay, he had brought it in. I know that Right, and that's what I saw. Let's see. If you look on the old list, I know Gene that you were chairing two of them, weren't you?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't see the list. So I have no
see,
clue.
So I don't know.
One of the fellows that
I asked to be on the personnel committee. He said it was
Beirut. During that Lebanon situation. Yeah.
And he asked me to be on the bus.
When they bomb, I really don't listen to that. Meaning, I understand what you're saying, but I think we ought to.
That's fine. I mean, he had just discussed it, that's all.
With you only.
No, I just discussed it with Gene. So I thought he asked you where you were going to be.
See, this is screwed up here again.
It doesn't matter because they're doing their own thing.
So,
that's okay.
Who's doing their own thing?
I guess.
But this is the same bullshit.
I guess we're going to.
There can't be a council member
chair. I understand.
And there can't be four members of the council. The other memo that I gave you.
Can't have four of us on the personnel committee.
Right. I can't have four of mine.
So you and Pat's got to come off.
Yeah.
Gene was chairing the finance and the utility.
Sure, that's why. That's what this was for.
Is this his list?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this list come from?
Old list. This is the one I just did from what the list he showed us the other day.
But see, Pat
now
and Valerie,
gonna ask,
one of us going to
come.
This is going to come up, but you can't have four.
Right.
What you do is change.
Called a special meeting of the town council, of the Smyrna Town Council, to order, please. Let's stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A moment of silence. Additions or deletions?
Make a motion that we accept the agenda as public.
I second.
How does council vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Old business. 206 revenue shortfall. Mr. Hubb.
Okay. Not knowing exactly what council wants to focus on tonight or specifically what you're looking to consider. Let me refresh at least the memory of the members of council who were here last year when the budget was adopted, and for the benefit of Mrs. White and Mr. Mullen. As you know, council adopted the budget last year in December 19th, in fact, for this fiscal year. That budget envisioned a total operating budget of a little bit over $21 million. It had included a shortfall in the general fund between the revenues anticipated and the expenditures in revenue fund programs. It envisioned a surplus in the electric fund and a surplus in the water and sewer fund of revenues over expenses, and incorporated a net end of the year surplus of a little over $500,000. It is not unusual for, or has not been unusual for, this community to have a net general fund deficit at the beginning of the year, or for that matter at the end of the year. Historically, the town of Smyrna covered its general fund expenses by revenue transfers from the utilities, typically at the end of the year, and sometimes by as much as $1 million. So the fact that we have a deficit in the general fund on the surface is really simply a function of how the revenues are generated on the general fund side and what programs and activities the council carries out that require general fund support. What is different, and the reason that this shortfall is at least an issue for continued discussion, is that beginning in, I guess, 2003 or 4, we being the town of Smyrna, the finance committee and the council and the staff, made a policy decision that we would operate our three funds, the general fund and our two enterprise funds, the water and sewer fund and the electric fund, as independent operations, independent funds, with the intention of making each of them self-sufficient. There were a couple of things done to implement that program. One was determining what our indirect costs and capital recovery obligations were from the two enterprise funds back to the general fund, so that instead of making an end-of-the-year transfer to make the books balance, we actually charge the electric and water and sewer fund during the year for the cost of operations, for the billing process, for the IT folks, for the folks that operate the front desk, et cetera. And that covers a substantial part of what had traditionally been the general fund deficit. We did that for a couple of reasons. One, it's simply the proper fiscal way to do business. You ought to operate your individual funds on a break-even or certainly self-sufficient basis. It's certainly something that the financial advisors and the bond market folks look at to make sure that you are, in fact, doing, operating in a fiscally proper manner. We also discussed, and council considered and chose not to raise the property taxes at this time, the issue that part of the reason there's a general fund deficit is our general fund revenues primarily come from either property taxes, which is a fairly predictable and not rapidly growing revenue source, or from development-related kinds of revenues, things like impact fees, which really can't be spent on general fund operations anyhow, building permits, inspections, those kind of sources, and the real property transfer tax, which recently, at least, has been the most rapidly growing and significant component of our budget. It was the thinking of the council, at least back in November and December last year, that as this year progressed, we would look at our various revenue streams, perhaps adjust some of them, which could include or not include, as councils choose fit, raising the property tax, lowering the electric rates, doing whatever was necessary to eventually balance out or rebalance those three funds. Council chose to hold the property tax at the rollback rate, essentially revenue neutral, which means that the projection going into the year of $300,000 or so shortfall in the general fund is, in fact, a still predictable, anticipated operating deficit on the general fund side. So that's kind of where we are. I do want to make a point, this is me venting a little bit, if you'll let me for a second, but I do want to make the point to the folks that are here and to the press and certainly to council that, A, the town is not broke, the town is not in serious financial problem, the town is not destitute. The town has about $4.5 million in operating and capital and rainy day reserves. You know, and that's with the deferral of about $600,000 worth of electric revenues that we did over the last year to minimize some of the electric rate burden. We are meeting our daily operations and obligations. We're not in danger of not being able to pay our bills or our payroll or anything of that nature. So I would caution you all to not refer to our situation as some kind of crisis or you know, major I don't know what the right term is, maybe, but you know, it does not mean that we don't need to think seriously about our revenue situation, and we need to think seriously about some of the capital costs that we're facing and will be facing. We will need to roll some of the short-term debt over into long-term debt. We'll need to borrow some money for some of the capital projects we're doing, and we're going to need to be looking at, and we should look at, the various revenue sources, whether they're in fact sufficient and what have you. But I just do want to say, sort of opening the meeting, that we don't have a crisis. And I would hope that we wouldn't use words that suggest we have a crisis. Okay. Beyond that, I don't know what else to tell you. You all have copies of the budget, I believe, or have gotten them. Gary is here if you need to ask specific questions about individual revenues, where they are, how they're performing. I will say that our to the extent that we are heavily reliant on development-driven revenues, the last year or so has been pretty soft in that because of interest costs and a variety of other kind of energy costs, the housing market and the commercial market are not as aggressive, not as robust as they were a couple of years ago. And that's showing up in things like the impact fee revenues and in the building permit numbers and whatever. I don't see that as a long-term problem, but it does mean that where a year or two ago we projected fairly rampant growth, if you will, pretty robust growth in the development-related revenues, that's probably not going to be the case through much of this year, and our budget was adopted based on that premise.
Okay. I'd like to thank Mr. Hug for his very good summary of what we're going on. One of the other things we're doing, I think we're looking at the idea that the general fund, which funds is basically most of the functions of the town, has been funded by the electric department to a certain extent, so that any general funds shortfall has been funded by electric rates, and then we increase electric rates if the general fund expenditures go up. This is a movement toward funding the general funds with general funds, not the electric department. So I think this is a significant move because we've discussed many small towns in Delaware have funded the town with electric rates, which can be manipulated up and down and that sort of thing, where taxes are a little bit different, viewed differently by the citizens of the town. And this is a movement toward funding the town with general revenues, which include taxes. Now, we've elected not to increase taxes at this point. So we have to look at the $300,000 shortfall and how we're going to, the predicted shortfall, how we're going to fund that. Or take care of that shortfall.
If I may, I put a number of items on this agenda, and especially the first six, A through G, are all kind of the same, along the same lines. As Dr. Shervinak said, we made a promise to the people several weeks ago that we would not increase the taxes, but we did point out that we had a shortfall and that we were going to look for alternative ways of raising those revenues. That's basically, as far as I'm concerned, our purpose here tonight, one of our main purposes. And I think that we probably can't get into any of these items in detail tonight, but what we can do is cover them for two reasons, to just kind of outline for the upcoming committee meetings what needs to be addressed immediately, and to let our newest members of council know promises that we've made in the past and plans we've made in the past. So that's the purpose of this, is to try to look for those other sources of revenues before going to the taxpayer. Thank you.
One of the things I would ask Mr. Huggins' staff is to maybe explore ways we can cut costs and take care of the revenue shortfall of the general funds through cutting costs.
I think that's probably going to be the focus of the Finance Committee. I'm glad to hear this, because this is information that I didn't have and I didn't know about. So it's not a critical thing, but we still have to be wary of how we spend our money and where it goes. And I would love to see the three funds be self-contained and more balanced. I think we have a much more balanced town and more balanced budget by doing that.
Anyone else?
Well, I think if it's acceptable to the other members of council, we could consider these six items almost as one and just try to discuss them, each of them briefly, and why they're on this agenda. And that way we'll get through it rather quickly and prepare ourselves mentally for our upcoming finance meetings, where we'll actually address this in detail, if that's acceptable to everybody here. Okay.
So what you're suggesting is that we refer this to the Finance Committee?
Well, no, I think we should have just some very preliminary discussion on these items today. As I said, you know, let's just take the first six.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just doing A.
Right. Okay. Well,
and so you want to talk about and then refer to the Finance Committee?
I think B through G, in my opinion, are all related to A. These are our mechanisms to accomplish A.
Got to go to Finance. So what you're saying, they should go to the Finance Committee?
Basically, yes.
When the committee is approved?
Yes. But maybe we could just briefly touch on some of them. If you'd like, I'd just take the first one, impact fees and building permits. Impact fees especially, we all know that these are supposed to cover the increase in cost to the town for the new properties coming in. And I have questions as to whether we are collecting an adequate amount of money from the developers for these new houses that are truly covering the costs, because if they're not, we're then putting each new house coming in is going to put an additional burden on the existing citizens of Smyrna, an unfair burden. So I think that as far as impact fees, what I would like to do is look at, number one, whether we can raise them, how much we can raise them, and then how much we should raise them. So maybe, Mr. Hugg, if by our next meeting or the finance meeting, if you could kind of gather those numbers together in anticipation of studying that subject.
Yes, sir, we can. And, in fact, Janet has been putting together an analysis of impact fees and, for that matter, other related development fees for a number of jurisdictions around us. I do want to make it's not really a correction, but a clarification to something you said, Mr. Cahill. An impact fee is by definition intended to capture the capital cost of new development on the community. It is not intended to capture the day-to-day operational maintenance kinds of costs. You know, when a new development is built and we accept a set of streets, the sweeping of the streets, the plowing of the snow, the patching that they need from time to time, those are not impact fee eligible kinds of expenditures. Okay. Secondly, there is a large body of law about how you set impact fees, the relationship of them to the actual impact. They simply can't be a number. You know, you can't just say, well, let's charge $10,000 a house because that's a nice number. There has to be what's called a rational nexus, which is a relationship between the fee that's charged and the actual demonstrable impact. They have to be spent for the purposes for which they're collected, and they have to be spent in a reasonable time period. So there are some, it's not an open-ended, let's solve our problem by impact fees. The other thing that I would caution the council, and we'll certainly talk about in the Finance Committee, in Smyrna, all of the cost of the infrastructure within the community, the new development, is paid for by the developer up front. So the roads, the water, the sewer, the sidewalks, the streets, the curbs, the stormwater, you know, the electric system, all of those things the developer puts in it at his own expense and gives to the town when that development is accepted. Now, and they also, from time to time, are required to pay for upgrades of the rest of the system. If, for example, let's say there's a 6-inch water line that goes to the development, and their development will require an 8-inch water line, the developer is required to upgrade that 6-inch water line to an 8-inch water line. And so those things are already covered. I mean, those costs are paid for by the developer. They're in the cost of the house. They're in the cost of the development. We don't contribute to them. Some municipalities, Middletown, for example, collects the money and does the work itself. So you got to be careful if you look at, okay, Middletown charges $20,000 in impact fees and we charge $2,500. You know, the real difference is Middletown is doing the work that we require the developer to do at their cost. That's sort of one. Secondly, an impact fee is probably of all the fees, it's the one that is most directly tied to the pace of development. So if you've got a good year, you've got a lot of impact fees flowing. If you've got a slow year, you've got no impact fees coming. It's a highly variable source. We have chosen in the last couple of years to use impact fees entirely for capital projects and not as part of the operating, not to offset any operating costs, because that's what legally you're supposed to do. And so we don't include in the budget, for example, in 2006, a specific estimate of impact fees. We include that in the revenue for the capital program. Okay. And to give you just another idea, in 2001, the town collected $280,000 in impact fees. In 2003, we collected almost $900,000. Last year, we collected $400,000. So it's an extremely variable revenue source. But we will have for you, for the next Finance Committee, an analysis of the impact fees that are charged at least generally in Delaware or nearby communities and kind of how they're calculated. So that, and I will do that in any case because it's something we've already considered doing, and we need to do it for the electric side because the cost of electric capital improvements has gone up much more than the cost of living.
One of the things I might add is a referendum in the school system was rejected in the Smyrna School District. I personally thought it was a voice that said that people of the school district were upset about the way we fund capital expenditures in the school district. The Kent County Commissioners reacted, the Levy Court reacted to that, and are discussing a what they call a surcharge. Apparently, the surcharge needs to be approved by the state for county properties. It is my impression, and Mr. Hugg may be correct me, but that our town properties, anything in the town, are not subject to county
correct
surcharges.
For school impact fees, they would not be subject. We do charge a Kent County sewer impact fee.
Right.
For development inside town limits because that's part of the sewer infrastructure.
Specifically, I'm talking about the schools.
Right.
And for, I guess, purposes of legality, we cannot call them a school impact fee. We call it a school surcharge. This is my understanding. In which case, that may be something that I think we should strongly consider in the future as a council is if the county passes a school surcharge fee on new homes that we ought to look at that very carefully within our town. And that's all I want. And that's something to add to the impact fee situation.
Town budget, that's going to the Finance Committee too, right?
Yeah. Since it's on the agenda, I'll say a few words about that too, if you don't mind. In part, again, just to, so people understand the sort of relative importance and some of the things that drive the at least the bottom line on the budget. it is clear, and everybody probably knows, that our budget, our total overall budget for the town of Smyrna, which is all of our functions and activities, has more than doubled since 2001. We are a $21 million business. And I want to emphasize the word business. We are a business activity. We provide services, we provide utilities, we provide police protection, libraries, whatever. That's the business we're in. About half of that business is owning, operating, and supplying electric services to our customers, which have gone up by about a little over 1,000, 1,500, probably in that same time period. We now have slightly over 4,000 customers. So that's the biggest single component of our total overall budget, roughly about $10 million of it, is related to the electric operations, total revenues, total cost of operation, which include buying wholesale power. We are also very much at the mercy of costs that we have very little impact or control over. We do not control the wholesale cost of energy. We are subject to whatever market exposure we have or the long-term contracts we're able to obtain. But, you know, we don't create it except in very small quantities. We certainly can't store it, and we have to pay for it if people out there who buy it from us want to use it. You know, when gasoline goes to $3 a gallon on the retail side, it goes to $2.50 or $2.60 on the wholesale side, which is the price we pay for it. We, you know, again, you know, we have either the option of not running vehicles and equipment or paying increased gas costs, because that's a cost over which we have little control. We also have very little control over health care and a number of other employment costs that are a function of market conditions and prices that we have to pay for goods and services. So there are limits within our budget for the kinds of things that we can, you know, readily cut. I put in my manager's report last week. I hope you all saw it, but if you didn't, town of Smyrna grew by almost 1,000 people last year. We are now about 9,000 people. We were 5,700 in April of 2000. Every bit of that growth is in areas that were approved for growth and development before the annexations that we undertook a couple of years ago. There is yet to be a single house built in the areas we annexed. So that is growth that was in the system, growth that was in the background, growth that's a function of people wanting to come to Smyrna, wanting to live in Smyrna, in Sunnyside or West Shores or Gardenside or Town and Country or whatever, Bombay Woods, you sort of pick it. You know, that is probably the highest growth rate in Delaware. And it's, you know, again, short of putting a barricade up, you know, those people have an opportunity and a right, and if they want to come to Smyrna, you know, they are our customers. And I have to gear up and deliver services to them, you know, at the same level, at the same quality, you know, that I deliver them to the 8,000 people or the 5,000 people. You know, I can't tell them that, oh, well, you know, we used to pick up trash twice a week, but we're only going to pick yours up every other week. Or you can only have electric lights half the day because I can't supply you. I can't do those kinds of things. So I think that's extremely important. I also want to make a point that, and I guess it's really capital improvement, so I'll hold it until we get to that discussion. One other point I want to make is that we also last year gained a responsibility for almost 6 miles of streets. We now have a little bit less than 26 miles of streets to maintain in the town of Smyrna. They have to be swept. They have to be fixed. That's 26 times 4 for electric lines, you know, 26 times 1 or 2 for water and sewer lines. You know, that's all part of the responsibility we have as a town. And, you know, my obligation, at least until you tell me otherwise, is to give all 9,000 of those residents the same high-quality service. So I think that's an important consideration.
I've got a couple of comments, and I realize that the town of Smyrna has grown explosively in the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Your microphone.
Push the button the wrong way again. Somebody ought to put a sign on that thing. How's that? I mean, the town, I've lived here for quite a while, and I've seen the growth in the town.
And in the last 4 or 5 years, it has exploded. My concern with the growth in the town is not so much the people coming in, but whether or not the town is being inundated, the town staff, the town resources just inundated by it and not being able to handle it. And I'm a little concerned, and I know Dave has worked very hard and the whole town staff has worked very hard to plan for it, but I think we're behind the eight ball a little bit. I don't think we're a lot behind it, but I think we're behind it a little bit. And I'm very concerned that the growth is going to far out outstrip our resources in a very short period of time.
Are you suggesting that we need to add additional staff to handle this growth?
Well, again, we're in between a rock and a hard place. If you don't have the money to add staff, of course you can't. But without growth, you're not going to add money. So I don't have an answer, and I think it's something that the Finance Committee and basically all the committees are going to have to look very closely at. And I think we just need to focus on really planning for the growth. And if we see that the growth is outstripping our resources, we need to slow it down some. Until we can have the resources to control that growth and to build off of it.
If I may touch briefly just on items C through G, because again I did put these on the agenda, and just quickly explain why. In the interest of covering our shortfall, number one, we talked about impact fees, and obviously it's a very complicated subject that we need to do a lot of research on, and we will be sending it to the Finance Committee for that. Why I place town budget here, I think that we need to go into our town departments and find out where we can cut any unnecessary expenditures, where we can save money. Dave, I know that you have done everything you can to accomplish that, but you know, if there's anywhere else that we can save that money, we should. Item D, legal expenditures. I think we need to take a look at how much money we are spending on our legal costs in town, because the numbers I hear, it's a very substantial and significant amount of money. The reason I put the grants on here was 6 months ago, the council made a decision not to have any grants given out, and we were going to reassess this in about a six-month period, which is right about now.
You said first of January, would have it all stripped, because we did our mid-year budget and all that.
Very good.
July, right?
So this is kind of the grants is an upcoming issue that we're going to need to revisit. Also, pay raises.
Same thing.
We made that decision 6 months ago, and it's coming around about to that time when we need to readdress that issue. And G, capital improvements. The reason I put this on was specifically because of the Public Works building. We have a hazardous situation there. We have a dangerous situation. If, God forbid, that building comes down and hurts somebody, we're going to be in a very bad position. If the building comes down and destroys our town's equipment, we're going to be in a very bad position. And I think we need to put a priority on especially that part of the capital improvements. And that's the reason I put all these down. And what I would suggest at this time, after discussion, of course, that we simply group all of these items and refer them en masse to the first possible meeting of the Finance Committee for further study. Thank you.
I personally concur with those comments. I think these items are of utmost importance for the Finance Committee and then recommendation post haste to the Council, so we can make proper decisions concerning all these issues.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I reviewed the 05 actual budget and the 06 estimated budget. I've reviewed the package that we got Monday night, and I agree with Pat, and I said it before, that I think all the departments should really look into tightening up a little bit more. Dave, this list of the budget that you gave me that has the three quite some time ago, you know, I went through there and I just looked, and there's a lot of things that I had questions about that maybe could have been, they're not detailed, it just, you know, as in general, the canine expenses was one of them. It doesn't say, you know, I'd like to know what they're for, because, you know, some of it's an awful lot of money on certain things. But if everybody looked at what they could do to save, we do it at home, I do it at my job. The budget really does, it's important, you know. It might be just a pencil, but that pencil times all, everybody adds up. Everything that you purchase, are we in contracts with all the auto parts dealers, and you know, we're getting a significant discount? Those are things that the Finance Committee should look into, whether or not, you know, the contracting. Everything has to go out for a bid. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. All major capital expenditures are bid. Significant pieces of equipment are bid. We buy off a state contract if there's a state contract item for it. We have a very dedicated purchasing officer who, believe me, if there's a way to buy, to save, you know, a half a mil on a sheet of paper, we'll save it, even if the paper jams in the machine sometimes. And we have a very, at least the auditor tells us, we have a very good control over our inventories and our purchases, and it's getting better because the new computer system allows us to do invoices and purchase orders and tracking and things that we weren't able to do before. But I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. I will tell you, and you know, Dave, for whatever it's worth, that when this budget was put together, this was about as bare bones a budget as we felt we could actually come up with. The Finance Committee and the staff spent hours going over each of these line items and, you know, asking that same kind of question. And sometimes it's, you know, you look at a number like postage and you go, why on earth is it, you know, did it go from $12,000 a year or so ago to $20,000? Well, you got 1,000 more customers to send a bill to every year. The postage went from 34 cents to 39 cents. We have, you know, legal requirements about notice to adjacent neighbors for fence adjustments and all kinds of things that simply drive our costs. I suspect that if we really sat down with our ordinances and went through and said, do we really need to tell everybody on the block when so-and-so wants to, you know, put a 6-foot fence in, then maybe we could save a little money by, you know, cutting back in some areas where right now I don't have any choice. You know, the law says I got to do it. And I've got to put a notice in the paper. I've got to put a FOIA notice in. I've got to, you know, there are things I simply have to do, and they're not cheap. And that's, you know, we try very, very hard in all the operating areas, particularly the ones under my control, to get the most we can for our dollar. That doesn't mean that there probably isn't something in here someplace that if we really, you know, thought about it. But I do want to tell you, when I got here, we bought used trucks. We bought half-ton pickup trucks for three-quarter and one-ton jobs and ended up having to rebuild them and repair them and put them on idle. And that's a false economy, too. You know, sometimes you got to spend the money to get quality materials and quality products. And you got to pay good people good money. I mean, This is a competitive business we're in. The guys who work for me could make more money in most cases working anywhere else. You know, I don't want them to leave. I've got to be able to keep them. I've got to give them good uniforms. I've got to give them good vehicles. You know, I could cut their uniform allowance in half, and maybe that'd be okay for a year or two, but they'd start looking awful ratty. You know, I mean, this is a business. I want to make that point. This is a business we run.
If I can add to that, I mean, I understand your need to cut or your need to look at things carefully, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. This town does not want to be a penny wise and a pound foolish. And when we look at buying things and we look at paying for things, we have to look at, if we save $5 here or $5 there, is it worth the time and the effort? What I'm saying is if it costs us $10 to save $5, I think that, but when we come to, as Dave mentioned, you know, capital projects and that sort of thing, I think we have to look at them very carefully as longevity and the costs. And in the past, I think the town has been a penny wise and pound foolish. And had we spent a little extra money here and a little extra money there, we wouldn't be facing some of the issues we're facing today. So that's where I'm coming from, and I think that hopefully council will look at it from that point of view.
Valerie, did you have something?
No. Okay.
So from A to G has been discussed, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to make a motion at this point, if that's acceptable, that we under item 5, old business, items A through G all be referred to the first possible meeting of the Finance Committee for in-depth discussion.
Second.
I'll second that.
How does council vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. H on the old business, minutes for council and committee members.
I'd like to take this one. I spent quite a bit of time in the last couple of years looking at the minutes for the meetings and reading what and trying to get a sense of what happened in the meeting. And you just couldn't from the notes. And what I would like to suggest is that council approve detailed transcribed minutes for all our meetings from here on out. And I would like to make that a motion that we have transcribed meetings minutes of all the council meetings and very detailed committee meeting notes.
I'll second that motion.
Gene, why about just getting a disc or something?
Well, however we do it,
it would probably be cheaper to give everybody a CD disc than it would.
It could possibly, but if a resident came into the town hall and he wanted a copy of the minutes from a meeting, you could burn a disc and just give him a disc. I would rather have them transcribed. It's not that difficult. Dave and I have talked about it. The cost is about the same as what we were paying before. So
we're not going to spend no more money on doing it?
Well, I mean, however we do it, we spend money by having a staff person here and having that time involved in transcribing. Historically, and this goes back basically before I came on board, there were very detailed minutes taken of council meetings. At some point, council decided that it wanted to change the way that minutes were taken or the person that took the minutes. There was some advice from our attorney that we were not legally required to keep what are, in essence, verbatim minutes, and, in fact, that there were some reasons that was not necessarily a good function or good practice. We, for a long period of time, then had someone who had as a separate job and was paid for those hours associated with being at the meeting and taking the minutes, do the minutes, and they were much more abbreviated. And, it boils down very simply to, you know, the person who takes the minutes has the tape. You can do either a summary of the meeting or you can do fairly detailed minutes or something in between. Certainly the last set of minutes that you got that Valerie prepared, actually two sets of minutes, are much, much more detailed in form. And if that's the sort of format of minutes that council would like, then that's, you know, certainly have no problem in doing that.
Yes, they were. I compliment you on that, Valerie. They were excellent. The problem we ran into is we tried to shorten them up. But what we ended up with is where the people from the public who speak at the microphone, we pretty much record, you know, everything that you've said there. But then when we get to the actual council meeting and all the discussion that goes on among the council, none of that was included. All we had was simply, we put forward this motion, we vote on it, this is the result of the vote. Sometimes our council spends, we may spend half an hour discussing an in-depth subject, and that is part of what we're doing up here. It's part of what the public should be able to read the next day, and that has not been provided. And that's the part. I think Mr. J. Work's contention that they do not need to be verbatim is true. I think there is certain stuff we can call in, you know, not every word has to be recorded, but I think that the general gist of what we've done up here in these meetings and the discussions that we've had should be part of the official record, because that's the only way that the public can come in on Tuesday morning and say what happened at that meeting last night. And right, our recent minutes have not reflected that. There is just simply little to no information in there of what the council is actually doing. Thank you.
One of the things that I've talked about in the past and is explanation of ordinances, that if anybody wants to read the minutes and as part of explanation of ordinances and what's going on as far as that goes, as an addendum, we may not completely explain an ordinance as we discuss it, but on the other hand, it might be good to add that as a sidebar or something along those lines as an explanation of the ordinance. I think it's a difficult thing to completely capture unless you do verbatim. And I was just thinking, how would I summarize your discussion just now in a couple of sentences that might come to the point of saying we need to know the essential elements, we need to know what was discussed without doing verbatim. And I think that that may be a difficult thing. It may not please everyone, but I think we can do better at it.
Well, you could just write down, Cahill talked a lot.
It's been moved and second. How does council vote?
I have one more, if I might. Part of the discussion on this is that we may have passed an ordinance regarding those minutes. Do you recall, David?
I recall we took some action. I'll research, and I think we did. I know there's an ordinance, but I think we passed a resolution calling for summary minutes.
Okay.
So we'll go back. We'll look at that. I'll research that.
Would it be appropriate for us to continue our motion and vote now, or do we have to wait until we research?
No, I think that's implied. If you want to amend your motion, or just for the record, we can indicate that we'll determine if we need to go back and
pending investigation
correct some prior action.
I can certainly amend it.
That sounds
either way.
I'll amend my motion to. To include if there is a prior resolution or ordinance addressing this, that the original motion take precedence over it.
Okay. How does council vote?
Aye.
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 The appointments of the standing committees. Public safety. Mark Schaefer is chairman, Mr. Pat Cahill, a fire company member, and Larry Thornton. Council have anybody else that they want to put on there?
I would add Gene Mullen.
Doug can do. We can only have three, right, Dave?
That's only three.
That's only three on
you're
there.
You're taking yourself off?
Yeah.
I say that.
Mr. Evans, I'm sorry, you're going to remove yourself from that committee?
Yes.
Okay, very good. If I may
question. Is how many committee members are acceptable?
Three
councilmen, but how many other?
As many as the public members.
Okay. Mr. Hogg, didn't we run into a problem with the personnel committee that we found that we were limited to five?
Three. You're three council members?
Yeah, only three councilmen can be
three
on any one committee.
Three council members and
two citizens.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a normal practice.
Yeah,
although
and
there's
and the charter is five people, and it's two citizens.
But it seemed to me that...
I don't believe it's in the charter.
It seemed to me that in the charter there was, or somewhere, there was a restriction with, I believe it, wasn't it the personnel committee specifically where it said it's limited to
five.
Because we had to drop a couple of members in order to put a couple of members on. So are there any other committees where we have a definite limitation?
One committee that you do is the enabling ordinance for the Historic Review Board does not have a council member on it. I mean, it's prohibited from having a council member. It's to be a committee of qualified citizens. So when you get to the Historic Review Board.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the Public Safety Committee as stated, with Mr. Evans not on the committee. And who was the fifth person we put on?
Gene Mullen.
Gene Mullen. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Well, let's just hold a second until all of them are approved.
Okay. You're going to do them all together, all at one? Okay.
Business Development Meeting Committee. Mark Schaefer, William Presley, Ms. White, Mr. William Wagner, and Mr. Lynn Ripa.
I would suggest that Mr. Burritt continue as the chairman of the Business Development Committee. I've spoken with him, and he's willing to do that.
Well, if I may, first, we got a big problem. We got four members of council.
No, you don't need it. You only have...
Oh, okay. That makes that easy.
Any place that you see my name on the committee except the personnel committee, I took my name off of everything except the personnel committee.
That's fine. Very good, sir.
And I would respectfully add Mr. Rick Downs to the committee. So that would be Mr. Byrd as chairman, Mr. Presley, Ms. White, Mr. Wagner, Len Ripa, and Rick Downs.
The committee, the council members would be Presley and White. Is that, did I get that right?
Correct.
Okay. If I can offer for the council's consideration, historically, standing committee chairpersons have been members of the council. I did discuss that matter with Mr. Jaywork. And also looked at the charter. There is no charter provision that says that a citizen cannot chair a standing committee, so it is appropriate if you choose to do so.
Rick's done a very good job, and let him go.
Got you again, Mr. Burritt.
You didn't think you were going to get away that easy, did you, Rick?
I'm glad it's legal. It's legal.
The Utility Committee.
Mr. Evans, if I may interrupt you for a second, sir.
Do you want to be the chairman of that?
The captain just brought up an interesting question, is do we have a member of the police department on the Public Safety Committee? Now, I'm looking at the old list, and we don't appear to.
The police chief
is always there.
He's always there.
That's right. He's officially a member of all committees.
Well, he's like I am. He's an ex officio or staff member of all committees. Neither he nor I are voting members of any committee.
Okay.
And all members of council are ex officio members of all committees unless they were specifically appointed to it. So
they aren't voting.
They aren't voting. If the Business Development Committee meets and Mr. Evans wants to be there and participate in the discussion, it's entirely proper. He simply doesn't vote because he's not a member of the committee. Likewise, I have the responsibility for staffing all the committees except the Public Safety Committee, and neither I nor my staff are voting members. In the same situation with the chief. The chief is not a voting member of the Public Safety Committee.
As I recall, he's an ex officio member of all committees, but is a voting member of none of them.
Right.
Is this satisfactory to you, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
Can we just tell them we have the notes to make sure we're right? Business Development Committee, Rick Burritt to be the chairman, Mr. Presley and Ms. White to be the council members, Mr. Wagner, Mr. Ripa, and Mr. Downs to be citizen members. Okay. Thank you.
The Utility Committee. Gene Mullen as chairman, Mr. Chevernack, John G. Richardson, and Jim Faulkner, Jr. What else y'all putting on there?
I'd like to suggest another name here. Unfortunately, I haven't checked with him to see if he'd be interested or not, but I know he'd be invaluable to this committee, and that would be a former employee of our town, Joe Heeger. Can we put him down on the list as a tentative person, and then it'll be up to him as to whether he wants to accept that or not?
I didn't look into the question of whether you actually had to be a resident of the town as well, and actually a couple of these people are not, so I guess that's not an issue. I don't know.
I would like to make a suggestion. Somebody that's been in the I know he's been in the electric field for quite some time, and in fact he's in the audience right now. Conrad Hebert was the director of the Dover Power Plant for a very, very, very long time, for 30 years, and I think he would be a valuable resource, particularly on that committee.
Well, I'll withdraw my request that Mr. Hebert be put on.
Mr. Hebert, are you amenable to that? Okay.
Thank you, Conrad.
Mr. Heber. Finance Committee. Gene Mullen as chairman. William D. Presley Sr., Mrs. White, Arthur W. Ricker, William C. Wagner, and Pat Strongberg.
I might suggest adding Mr. Temple Carter as a former councilman and Finance Committee Chairman, who would have continues to have a lot of knowledge about the Finance Committee. I don't know Mr. Wagner at all, so I don't know what is. The other person I might suggest, and I talked to him today, is Mr. Ron Crouch, who's a citizen of our town and knowledgeable about financial affairs.
I'm going to have to say I would ask Mr. Wagner before we. Mr. Wagner has been on there for quite a time.
I don't know him, so.
Yeah, Mr. Ricker and Mr. Wagner have been
very good
on our finance committee for years, and certainly from a staff standpoint, we would urge that they continue to serve if they're willing to do so. They've been very valuable.
Because the other thing is, I've seen where, we're putting 5 and 6 and 7 people on here. That became a problem too. If you got more than 5 people, it ended up being a problem at the meetings.
I might suggest that the finance committee is very, very important to the town, and having maybe 7 people on that committee would not be a bad thing.
Particularly the people that have the amount of experience on that committee in the past,
right.
would really be helpful, I think.
Well, you know, the thing is that all the citizens can come to these committees. You know, so they still can talk. It's just the people that's on there has got a chance to vote. I mean, anybody are allowed to come and talk to these meetings and express their concerns.
I think that part of being on the committee is the responsibility of actually being there and having a vote. When you come and talk, you have the ability to express your opinion, but when you actually have to vote on something, it puts you in a different seat. And I think that my personal opinion is I would want all these people on the finance committee.
There's probably a whole bunch of people out here who won't be on these committees with a vote.
Well, remember, any committee.
Do what you want to do.
No, I'm just saying that any and all committee, any of these committees are recommendation committees. They are counselors to the council, and they vote after deliberation, discussion, and then they vote on a recommendation to council, at which time the council has to decide whether or not that recommendation is suitable or not. I don't see anybody on this committee who are, that there are going to make recommendations that are so outlandish that We could consent. But on the other hand, I think that their advice and consent and recommendations would be helpful to the council.
I did want to just make one comment because Dr. Chervenek said he wasn't familiar with Mr. Wagner. In the 2 years I've been a councilman, I've worked closely on these committees with both Art Ricker and Bill Wagner, and these two guys are two of the best we got. Very intelligent, hardworking.
Very good, right.
Very, very good. I wouldn't want to lose either one of them.
Well, then, might I add Mr. Carter and Ron Crouch to the list?
Well, the problem is I want to add Bill Hill to the list, too. So now we're ending up with a parade. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him.
I suspect Mr. Hill would not serve, although you can certainly ask him.
Why don't we approve what we got here?
Okay.
And then we can always add to the committees later.
That's true. We can always add.
Everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah, because you haven't talked to them. You might talk to Mr. Wagner or Mr. Richter, and they might say, I don't want to be on it.
Right.
So just, you know, go with what we got in front of us, and then if we want to add, we can always add.
Can we add Temple Carter?
Go ahead.
All right.
Didn't we bring Temple back? He's been on a committee for the past
year. He's on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Planning and Zoning. Oh, okay.
At the moment.
Billy's probably got a good suggestion there to, you know, leave it the way it is, and we can always add, and hopefully we can entice Mr. Carter and Mr. Crouch to attend the meetings and give us their advice and counsel.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Mr. Presley. That's probably the best approach.
The Parks Committee, from the get-go, scratch Roscoe Wilson.
Already did.
On the Parks Committee be Mark Schaefer as chairman, Mary Turner, Stephen Price, Bonnie Lawrence, and Mike Marsh. Reason why I said take Roscoe Wilson's name off the list here, Roscoe Wilson is not even in the town of Smyrna anymore. I'm not going to state the reason why he's not here, but I know, so I'll keep it to myself.
He's been gone for over a year, I know that.
May I ask a question? How many times did this committee meet last year? I mean, I think...
Once, I believe.
Mr. Schaefer was the chairman of the committee, and it met once.
Well, I think that perhaps one of the things... We can go ahead and approve our list tonight, but one of the things we ought to do is, out of respect for Mr. Schaefer, is to allow him to go over this list also, and if he feels that he's opposed to being on any committee or, you know, that he have a say-so at that time, unfortunately...
Leave it the way it is.
He can't be here tonight, so... If, you know, he would choose not to be the chairman if he finds he doesn't have the time, perhaps we could replace him with someone else.
Anyone else? The Personnel Committee. William D. Presley, chairman. Memphis Evans, Mrs. White, Pat Cahill, John Rice, and Ron Eby.
You cannot have four council people.
No. We got to take, and plus Mr. That's been changed.
Not John Rich's.
It's yeah. Sue Hensley and Skip Rebar that's on that committee because John Rich.
Mr. Rich is in ill health and had resigned from the personnel committee.
That's right. He can't be but three council members, right?
So Mr. John Rich did formally resign, as I recall. What about Mr. Ronald Eby?
Yes.
He resigned also.
I thought he also resigned. He was recently elected to the school board, so I don't know whether he'd be interested or not.
And that's why we put Skip, Mr. Rebar on there. So,
but we need to take one councilman off.
Yes.
Take me off.
No, you got to be on something.
Sneaky Memphis.
That is getting off that easy.
Give the new members.
You've already been there. You already been there for a while.
Memphis. Boy, Memphis, you're having a good night here.
Take me off.
Okay, so Memphis is off. So it leaves us with 1, 2, 3, and. You said Skip Rebar.
Pat, do you have a problem with Valerie staying on there?
No, not at all. So that leaves us with four members, and I'd like to...
Pat's going
to
come off, and Valerie's going to stay on.
Wait, come off what?
I thought Memphis was coming off.
I come off.
Memphis.
I come off.
Memphis right. came off.
But
you're coming
Mr.
off?
Cahill and...
Then what committees are you going to be on?
None.
He's going to be on the front porch with the cool glass of lemonade committee.
Why don't you let him be, on your Route 13 corridor.
Yeah.
I would...
He can be with you.
I would add Citizen Terry Burrell to the Personnel Committee.
Yes, he'd be excellent. So that would give us a total of five, which, Bill, is the number of people you have on that committee, which I believe we were mandated to, correct?
Let's see what if we add, you've already seven. Got... No, that gives you too many.
Okay, we got Presley,
two,
White...
Two, three, four, five.
Presley, White, Cahill, Skippery Barr, Terry Burrell.
So what are we going to do with these two people that are already on it?
Who?
Sue Hensley and Mr. Rebar.
Well, we have Mr. Rebar down here.
Skip Rebar just came on there. He took Mr. Rich.
The standing place. Committees are automatically.
These two guys were going. Can't have no more.
Oh, five. Okay.
So we need to leave it the way it is. Because you can't have no, Mr. Rebar's been there at two meetings. And then Sue.
Oh, so they're already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a committee member only serves for a year at the organizational meeting when the committees are reset. If they remain on there, then of course they serve. But at the end of that year, basically there's nobody approved until the organizational meeting comes back in. So technically there isn't anybody on the committee at this point until we appoint them.
Well, that's what I say. It's not fair to these members that are on there without asking them to remove, or you know what I mean?
Well, I think we have the opportunity to put new members on the committee as we see fit. Members were dropped.
I disagree with you on this one.
Well, members were dropped last year without discussion, and I mean, that was a precedent that I was appointed to five committees without discussion.
I was removed from all my five.
You were removed from all your committees without discussion. So,
and unfortunately, like Dr. Shervinak said, the precedent was set last year. So we are doing what was done last year.
Well, why don't we put Terry on the Personnel Committee? I know he was interested, and just remove one of them, and you leave the other.
Do what you want, but I'm not happy with it. No.
Well, I'm comfortable with Mr. Presley, Ms. White, myself, Terry Burrell, Skip Rebar. Those are the names I have for Personnel Committee.
Anyone else?
I'll add myself.
You can't.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, that's right. We already got. Sorry. No. I'll be there as an ex officio member.
You guys can do what you want, but I'm still not going to be happy.
Long-range planning. Is everybody happy with those nominees?
I don't know. What's Mr. Evans doing?
Nothing.
You going to be on that one?
No.
Okay, so we cross you off.
The long-range, you want to announce the members, Mr. Evans?
Doug Shavinak, Don Neiser, Temple Carper, Richard Yeager, Debbie Wicks, and Ann
Hennings.
Anybody have any new names?
No, sir.
I believe you need one more on there, don't you?
I have a suggestion. I mean, the Long Range Planning Committee is I think it's a, it, even though it's an ad hoc committee, I think it's pretty important. Planning where our town goes, and I would suggest strongly that a local business person is on there.
You got one?
No, that's the bad part. I don't happen to have a recommendation, but I think
Well, Mr. Yerger, he's on there.
Is he a local businessman?
Yeah, he's in construction and development.
Okay.
And just to clarify for the committee, too, Mr. Neiser and Mr. DeCarter serve as chair and vice chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee. So they serve by virtue of their appointments to Planning and Zoning on the ad hoc committee.
But that's acceptable. We can have them serve on both.
No, it's not a standing committee.
Can they serve on both?
Yeah, actually, they're specifically named.
Okay.
When we originally created the, and a long range planning committee is an ad hoc committee in that it is not a standing committee established by the charter.
I have no idea.
Are you going to go there?
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was next up is the Tree Commission, and I was made chairman last year, but I expressed the fact that I don't know that much about trees.
You did a wonderful job. You did a wonderful job, sir.
I don't know what the Tree Commission does.
No, I don't want it.
I might suggest that we delete that. We can't?
No, you cannot.
Okay. We cannot delete. Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. We have some tree people in the audience.
one of the requirements for being a designated Tree City USA and recognized by the Arbor, whatever that group is you do have to have a tree commission. And these people, while not very active last year, have been very active in prior years.
Yes, I know. I was the chairman of the Tree Commission before Dr. Shervinak, and but the history there was the year before I took it over, we had many, many issues involving trees. We had old trees in town that had to be taken down. Part of our whole historic, redoing of the downtown area concerned trees. By the time I became the tree commissioner, there was basically nothing left to be done. There was some minor pruning that was done.
You've taken down all the trees. Is that what you're trying to say?
They're all gone.
It was a success. Mr. Cahill, it was a success.
I think we did a heck of a job with that. But and then last year, the only work that was done with the trees was electrical pruning, which is all utility. We have to do that. But we're going to come to the point, I think, where the tree commission will again become important, maybe even this year. So I would not want to see it abolished for that reason. But
well, we can't. I just heard that we cannot.
I know that I believe Sherry Steller is no longer on that committee.
Is she off?
I believe she is.
Because I did have a question on that. Is she off the committee?
Well, she contracts with the town, so I don't think she.
Yeah, the only question, and I mean, I know Sherry, and I know it's not a major problem, but everybody on the council should be aware. Her and her husband run Delmarva Tree, which has several contracts with the town, so. But I mean, she is a good resource, and I know it's not a problem with her knowing Sherry. So
I know in a personal conversation, I believe she told me that she had resigned just to prevent any kind of conflict of interest. Okay. If she should want to come back to it, I mean, we'd be more than happy to have her.
So she's off.
She's off.
Should we scratch her off for the time?
I would withdraw my chairmanship of the Tree Commission because I'm stumped as to who else we could find.
Oh!
You were thinking hard about that when I.
I'm sorry.
Is the audience allowed to throw things at us?
Yeah.
A historical review board.
We deal with the tree commission.
So where did we stand with that one? I'm sorry.
We don't know.
Just leave it like it is. And
okay, we won't even scratch Sherry. We'll just leave her on for the time being.
And Dr.
Sherman, off.
Is Dr. Shervinak on or off?
Off.
I withdraw because
you withdraw.
I'm serious. If somebody else, Mr. Presley, do you know more about trees?
I will.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Valerie, you want to put your name on as chairman of the tree? Okay, Valerie.
Okay, no, I knew anything about trees either. Chairwoman of the tree.
Sorry.
There's only one tree you got to worry about.
And that's Larry Lohman's tree.
Right.
There's two trees out in front of you.
Yeah, that's Larry.
Okay.
Larry's tree.
We'll put him on the committee.
Yeah.
No, no,
actually, you know, that would not be a bad idea.
What's that?
Seriously. Larry Lohman.
I'll take Sherry off and add Larry.
His family's been in the tree business forever.
Years.
Would have to ask him.
As the chairman?
No, just a
member.
Valerie's going to take chairman.
Okay. All right, fine.
Should we just place him on it, or should we consult with him first?
Let's ask him first,
and we can always put him on at the next meeting.
Okay.
Now ready for the next one?
Yes.
The Historical Review Board. Mr. Shavanak as chairman.
Yeah, we cannot have a council member as chair of that committee.
I withdrew last year from the chairmanship because I understood I couldn't be on it.
Janet, is this the current committee? Oh, I'm sorry. Janine Mattson, Michael Reed, Margaret Snow, Dick Yerger, and Rob Timblin. Okay. These are all the current members of the review board. And Dick Yerger is the chair.
He is the chair.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll leave that. Okay.
So we're going to leave that like it is?
Yes.
Yep.
And just remove Mr. Chavanet.
Yes.
The Smyrna 13 Carter Improvement Committee.
Okay, I'd like to address this one. This is a committee. Maybe you should ask the committee. Let me explain, and then we'll see if anybody wants to be on the committee. Last year, this was created. I was the only member of it. There were no other members.
Excuse me.
They were very exciting meetings.
I was added to the membership.
Then in October, I believe Dr. Shervinak was added because everybody just felt sorry for me sitting in that room all by myself. Now, the problem with the Route 13 Corridor Improvement Committee is that that's a DLDOT project, okay? Basically, the state of Delaware maintains that whole strip. We had plans made that were all finalized, right, Dave? Landscaping plans drawn up, all kinds of plans, and then last year, just prior to the development of this committee, all the money disappeared out of DLDOT. So we have not been able to accomplish anything. So all the planning has been done. So there's no planning to do in this committee. There is no money to spend, so there's really...
Don't need this committee at all.
We don't need this committee. So I'm going to make a motion that we just... Or I'll just say that I think we should delete the committee.
Can they delete that committee, Mr.?
Yeah, it's an ad hoc committee.
That gives them a little more time for the tree commission.
Yeah.
But I'm going to miss my one-man meetings. It was great. I got my way all the time.
That's it. We can save a lot of money on lunches and things. So we don't have to have that meeting anymore.
The town chaplain, Mr. Thomas B. Bowers. He's the chaplain now. Anybody else they want to put on there?
I wonder, I guess, with some of the memos we've gotten from our legal staff, whether or not we should have a town chaplain from the point of view of the, I have no problem with the town chaplain. I don't know if any citizens do.
But is he actually a chaplain?
I don't know what his role is. I mean, that's what I'm saying is to appoint somebody who is the town chaplain, do we then say that we are supporting a religious endeavor of some point or another, and as a town government, I don't think we can do that.
Do we have to have one?
Yeah, see, no. I don't know if it's just...
No. My personal feeling is we should not have one because if we're going to have one, it shouldn't be him because he's got his house up for sale, so if he moves... sells his house and move, we're going to be without a chaplain anyway.
The other problem I think we got here, and what we're referencing is we got a letter from our attorney basically telling us that it was not constitutional to have religious prayer services before our meetings because, you know, which religion is the right religion? You know, we don't want to offend everybody. It gets into a real sticky wicket, and we'll end up in a lawsuit. The problem I could see with the town chaplain might be the same along the same lines of, well, which religion do we choose our town chaplain from? So I think it may be very well be a sticky wicket that we just don't want to get into. Pardon me?
Well, I don't know that he – that's why I asked if he was actually a chaplain, because there are several organizations, and I don't know about you, Gene, but that were members of it at my place of employment, that every 3 or 4 years within that committee, you get to be the chaplain, and then you get to be the chaplain, and then you get – you're not actually a chaplain. It's just an appointed position for a temporary time. So you're not really considered a chaplain in a religious form. So I don't know. That's why I asked if he was.
Mr. Bowers has been chaplain. Does he have to have the records?
Didn't know what the concept was behind the chaplain.
I don't know why we need why the town needs a town chaplain. I mean, we have plenty of religious leaders in the town who support our town and that sort of thing. Why we, you know, require?
Why don't you send out an invitation?
Well, no. The problem is supporting a religion as a government, and I don't think we can.
Can't afford to do that.
I don't think we need a town chaplain. I would
make a suggestion that we leave the position blank until we can check with our town attorney and make sure, you know, just what the role exactly is and get a better explanation of exactly what their role is.
I got to agree with Mr. Mullins. I think that's a very very smart way to handle it. We'll simply not appoint anybody at this time and explore whether there's a problem with separation of church and state regarding a town chaplain, number one. And like you said, do we really need it? So I would be in favor of doing that. I don't want to abolish the position completely until we're sure of exactly what we're doing. But I also do not want to open the town up to litigation from the ACLU or other people who are going to come in and cost us $100,000 in legal fees to fight a philosophical battle.
If you vote for a town chaplain, do they have to sit on the council every time you have your
month
to
say prayer?
No.
Nah. No.
Well, actually, that's part of the problem, ma'am, is we've been warned by the attorney that we can't say prayers anymore.
Do we always have a chaplain before?
I don't know.
No. Last year was the first year we actually had someone designated as a chaplain. Previously, various ministers and pastors in the community took turns offering a prayer, and then we were advised that we...
Was that for ceremonies or something like that?
I don't recall that we've ever... since I've been here, that we ever had a role for a chaplain. I don't know what the...
Well, I mean, a chaplain is nothing more than a counselor, is basically. He just, for the most part, I know that's what they were in the Air Force. I mean, he didn't.
But that is actually, I think, a very good question. I'm sorry.
I think we should leave it blank at this point. I move on.
The good question I think that this lady brought up was simply outside of our official meetings, you know, when we go to dedicate a memorial, when we go to, say a prayer after a tragic occurrence, would we want a town chaplain for those functions? We can have them at our public meetings, but would that necessarily be a conflict?
I think
we need a little discussion on it.
Well, I think we need a legal opinion on that.
Yes. But you made a very good point, though, ma'am. Thank you.
I mean, if the emergency, if the town had an emergency or something all of a sudden.
Sure.
Then I think we would have several from the local churches and stuff.
So we're going to leave that place blank right now. Blank.
Mr. Barrett, the 12 years you was on council, did you have a chaplain? Okay. That settles that.
But we also had a prayer before you.
Okay. Had to muddy the waters in.
Now, Mr. Mullen is going to go over the list again before we approve it.
You actually have two more
to consider.
The assessors, the charter provides that a board of assessment comprised of three members who reside within the corporate limits of the town are appointed by the mayor with the consent of the council for an indefinite term. They do not serve a specific one-year term. Mr. Lepkowski, Mr. Evanson, and Mr. Whitaker were the board of assessment appointed in January of this year. I would suggest to council we leave those appointments in place until sometime if necessary.
Sounds good.
There is an ad hoc library committee was created after out of the long-range planning process. John Filos is actually a member of that committee representing the State Division of Libraries, so he's technically an ex officio member of that committee, not a voting member. The only change in that committee that I see on this list is a recommendation to add Mrs. Cahill.
I hear she's a troublemaker.
Is there a chair on that committee?
Actually, the way that committee has operated is that the chairman of the Long Range Planning Committee, who is Dr. Shervinak, presides as chair of this. It technically is a subcommittee of
the Long Range
Planning Committee.
Okay.
So will Dr. Shervinak be included in that committee as chair?
If you would like to specifically mention list him as chair, that would be fine. I mean, he would otherwise preside in that capacity.
How do you feel?
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay. We have Public Safety Committee. Mr. Schaefer's chairman, Gene Mullen, Pat Cahill, a fire company member, and Larry Thornton. The Business Development Committee. We have Rick Burr, chair, William Presley, Valerie White, William Wagner II, Len Ripa, and Rick Downs. The Utility Committee, Gene Mullen, chair, Douglas Shervinak, John Richards, Jim Faulkner, and Conrad Hebert. Finance Committee, Gene Mullen, chair, William Presley, Valerie White, Art Ricker, William Wagner, and, okay, I'm a little confused.
Pat Stombaugh.
Pat Stombaugh, okay. Cultural Parks ADA Committee. Mr. Schaefer is chairman, Mary Turner, Stephen Price,
Pierce,
Bonnie Lawrence, and Mike Morris. Personnel Committee, William Presley, chair, Valerie White, Pat Cahill, Terry Burrell, and Skip Rebar. Long Range Planning Committee, Dr. Shervinak, chair, Donald Neiser, Temple Carter, Richard Yerger, Debbie Wicks, and Ann Henning. The infamous Tree Commission, Valerie White, chair. Somebody's got to help me with this.
Flavia Rutowski.
Okay. Peggy Hutchins and Barbara McGowan.
McGuigan.
McGuigan.
And Larry Lohman.
And Larry Lohman, if he'll serve. Historic Review Board, Richard Yerger, chair. Jeannie Matson, Michael Reed, Margaret Snow, and Rob Timblin. We eliminated the ad hoc 13 corridor improvement. 2006 assessors, Francis Lepkowski, Guy Edmondson, and William Whitaker. Ad hoc Library Planning Committee, Dr. Shervinak, Servanik's chair, Ann Henning, Mary Ann Varanko, John Filos, Bob Bamberger, Beverly Hurt, Julia Cahill, and David Hug.
Can I get a motion to accept these committees?
I'll make a motion that we accept the list as just reviewed by Mr. Mullen and Toto.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. How does council vote?
Aye.
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 The next thing on the agenda is public safety committee items. Critical public safety committee items.
Can we, excuse me for a minute. I believe Mr. Presley is not voting. Is that right? For the record.
Okay. I asked Mr. Hugg to put this on the agenda. Critical public safety committees and items, and it's kind of a catch-all general. Basically, it's for Valerie and I to come up to speed on some of the things that the public safety committee might be working on. And Captain Weber's probably more aware of it than what's going on that committee, or if they have anything critical going on.
Critical thing that it was addressing was the proposed ordinance to be considered by council in regards to sexual offenders. And I don't think that the committee actually arrived at any type of a resolution concerning the issue. The last I heard, they were still in the process of reviewing the
No, that's the only thing that, as far as you know, that.
If memory serves me right, Mr. Mullen, that was it. Really the only thing that was kind of left.
Yes, it kind of got bounced around. We sent it from council back to the committee, but we've never had a meeting of the committee. It came back to council, and we had to kick it back once more. So. That's what makes that a pressing issue.
Okay. Other council business?
I believe we, I have two items, actually. One item is I think we need to appoint a vice mayor. And I have another item after we do that, I believe.
If I can just comment at this point. Simply for the record, at the request of Mr. Jaywerk, who was not able to be here tonight, he raised a concern that the appointment of a vice mayor was not specifically identified on the posted agenda, and reminded me to remind council that if council was aware that that would be considered tonight, then we potentially have a posting and FOIA question. If council did not otherwise intend to address that issue and it's a matter arising at the meeting tonight or after the agenda was posted and the closing on the agenda, then, you know, I guess you could proceed. But he did want me to caution you that if it was anticipated that this was going to be discussed tonight, it should have been on the agenda.
Well, I believe the reason it was not anticipated was because it was only yesterday that I came across in the charter the powers that I believe will allow us to get this job done tonight. So I wasn't aware of any mechanism prior to that because Mr. Jaywerk's last advice to us was that, well, this was something that we could simply leave unfinished. And the part of the charter, and I can't tell you specifically which chapter, but it basically says that if there is some business that is in the interest of the town and in the running of the town, then the town council can, very liberally construed, can do what needs to be done. In this case, we have the subject of the vice mayor, and this is where the conflict is. The charter says the mayor appoints the vice mayor. But also the charter says that the vice mayor must be appointed on, not inauguration day, organizational meeting night, which was not done. That's now three meetings ago. And I think because that it's necessary that we move forward on this issue, and we do have the power under the charter, since we have not accomplished this yet, I think, to take it upon ourselves to make sure that this essential piece of legislation is done. But again, my reason is that I didn't really discover this until yesterday, and then I shared it with Dr. Shervinak.
I think it ought to be done. I think we've waited long enough to get the necessary items in place so we can get on with business, and that's what we're all here for. So I would strongly suggest that the council go ahead and appoint a vice mayor so we can get on with the business of the town.
Anybody else have anything, sir?
I concur. I think we need to get things organized and moving, and let's go.
So we can do it?
You are the council secretary, and you have...
All right, well, my nomination for vice mayor would be Mr. Mullen.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Now council vote.
Well, we, as far as discussion goes, the only problem I have with that, I have all the faith in the world that Mr. Mullen is going to make an excellent councilman, but he's been a councilman for 2 weeks. And the position of presiding over meetings is you have to be familiar with not only the charter and the ordinances, but parliamentary procedure in general. It's a very challenging job. I know when I was a new councilman here, it took me about a year just to get my feet wet before I could understand how the process worked, making of motions, et cetera. That's the only reason, you know, we did have a nomination up here last week for the most senior person, and I think that, in my opinion, we need someone more senior than Gene. No offense, Gene, but that's just how I feel about it.
Mr. Cahill,
yes, sir.
I understand what you're talking about. Before I made my nomination, I talked to two ex-mayors. They said when it came to a vice mayor, seniority didn't mean a thing. So that's the reason why that I voted Mr. Mullen. Nothing against you.
I might interject something. The two previous mayors you probably talked to did not face the situations that we have faced in the past 5 years. We have a different situation, different town, different place, unfortunately, in many ways. I think we have to face reality. We need people who are able to fill in. We don't know what the future holds. And I would vote that we look at our senior people at this time. As opposed to someone who's been on council for 3 weeks.
I'm going to throw my two cents in here. I'm very flattered that you would consider me. I do know the charter. I know parliamentary procedures, and they don't really bother me all that much. But also, Mr. Cahill is right. I've been a councilman for 2 weeks. While I'm more familiar with the budget than probably most new people coming onto this, I still have an awful lot to learn. Got a lot to learn on the ordinances. Got a lot to learn on the personality of the council and a lot of other things. So I would, while I am very flattered, I would say I would not be the best choice, and I agree that I still think, and I've said this before, that the senior members of council should serve in those two positions as called for in the charter, and that's the vice mayor and the secretary. And I have every confidence in Mr. Cahill to perform that.
Well, I'd like to say something too then, Gene. I have all the confidence that Gene could also do it. Pat, I did mention it last week because of your knowledge, because of everything that the way that the council worked together, I do believe that you would also do a good job. Gene, I did second it because I do believe that you can be, you know, do what is required of you. But since you feel that Pat is, you know, just as capable of doing it, then can I make a motion? And I'll make a motion to have Pat.
There's a motion already on the floor. It has to be defeated first.
Unless you withdraw.
Well, Memphis made the motion originally.
Well, actually, just just to run parliamentary procedures, Mr. Evans is acting as a chairman. Technically, he has to pass the gavel before he can make a motion. But I don't know how sticky we're going to get with it.
No, he made a nomination. He makes the nomination.
Right. We all vote. Right.
So all he does, who made the motion to accept his nomination?
Memphis made the motion originally.
I made the nomination.
Yeah. He stated his choice for appointment. Okay.
So we need a motion to accept the nomination.
Yeah.
And if you withdraw the motion.
I said I seconded it. Either way, do you want me to withdraw? I withdraw my motion. Help me out here.
Probably what needs to be done, I guess.
Originally.
Okay, who made the motion? Who made the second?
I thought he made a motion.
No, I said that I nominate Mr. Mullen.
I said I seconded.
It was never a motion made to Mullen.
And Valerie seconded.
Right.
And Valerie seconded.
So there's no motion.
There's no motion.
No motion on the floor.
There's no motion on the floor.
All right, we need another nomination.
Or motion. Anybody else want to nominate anybody? I'm opening it up to the council.
I'll nominate Patrick Cahill as vice mayor.
I'll second it.
Are you making that as a motion, Mr. Mullen?
I make a motion that we appoint Patrick Cahill as vice mayor.
We need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that Mr. Patrick Cahill be vice mayor for 2006. How does council vote?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
I'd vote.
Did you vote?
Aye. Yeah.
Aye.
I don't think you can.
Mr. Evans, did you vote?
I didn't vote.
Okay, let me get this okay. Cahill, White, Mullen, and Chervenak voted in favor. One not voting, one voting no. Correct? Okay. Mr. Chairman, the motion passes.
The motion has passed. So for the good of the town of Smyrna, I move that we adjourn.
No, I have one other person or other point of other business. I read an article in the Smyrna Clayton Times written by Mr. Clevenger with quotes by Mr. Schaefer about a fellow councilman. I was deeply distressed by those comments, and I feel that they have no place in any public official of this town. Now, I know our new council people were counseling us to quit the bickering, to stop the bad stuff. But what I'm going to say to all of you is the bad stuff continues. And ask yourself why. And then we can stop it. Those comments were inappropriate. They were slander at the very best. And then you can go from there. And I want the council at some point to make it known to Mr. Schaefer that we're not going to tolerate this kind of behavior anymore. We are not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to make any motions. I want us to think about it. But this town deserves better than this. That's all I want to say. Here, here.
For the goodness of the town of Smyrna, I make a motion that we adjourn.
Back in that.
I'm not sure if you can, Mr. Evans, because you're the presiding officer, but I'll be happy to make the motion that we adjourn.
I'll second that one, too.
I'll second.
Okay. It does get a little sticky.
Whatever fight you about.
Good job.
That went smooth or not. And I know.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.